this morning we're going to start a new series that I want to start with you for the next 4 weeks or so as we come into Lent. But it's called The Always God. And here's some of the titles that I'm going to bring to you the next several weeks. This morning you can see the word speaking. The always speaking God. And what does that look like in our lives? The ones to come. The always hearing God. The always seeing God. The always pursuing God. And the always restoring God are some of the topics that we're going to discuss and look at in our lives. And we're going to look at Scripture. And so this morning, I want you to turn to the book of Exodus. And we're going to go to chapter 3. And of course, we know that this is the story of Moses and the burning bush. It's a very common story. But what I want you to pay attention to here is how God speaks to Moses. And then we're going to look at the way that God speaks to us today. I'm also going to use part of our canon, or part of our standards in the church, in the Alliance of Reformed Churches, the Belgic Confession, which a lot of you might know, Article 2, and I'll read that here briefly. But let's turn to the Word of God first and hear what He has to say to us this morning. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 through 15. Moses and the burning bush. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that, though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses! And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. The word of the Lord. And then also from the Belgic Confession, if you have your outline with you in your bulletin this morning, on the back side of your outline, I have that printed out for you this morning. I just want to read that to you. We're going to talk about some the way that God speaks to us this morning in many different ways, but I'm going to talk about general revelation and special revelation a little bit here this morning and what that looks like in our lives. This has to deal with that here this morning. And so this is so here's what it says. The Belgic Confession, Article 2, the means by which we know God. We know God by two means. First, by the creation, preservation, and government of the universe. Since that universe is before our eyes like a beautiful book in which all creatures, great and small, are as letters to make us ponder the invisible things of God. God's eternal power and divinity, as the Apostle Paul says in Romans 1, verse 20. All these things are enough to convict humans and to leave them without excuse. Second, God makes himself known to us more clearly by his holy and divine word. as much as we need in this life for God's glory and for our salvation. And then the one verse that was quoted in here is Romans 1 verse 20. I added that to it as well this morning. And here's what that verse says. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for a blessing upon your word here this morning, that you may bring that word to life through the Holy Spirit. Lord, may you use me in a way to reach your people today with your message. May these words be yours, never mine. Lord, and I pray that you just fill me in a way that resonates with your people today. May you open their hearts and minds and souls to receive your teaching today. In Jesus we pray, amen. This morning I want you to think about a few things. I want you to go back to Genesis chapter 1 with me just for a moment. When I speak of God speaking to us, what does that look like? Did you know that this phrase happens in God said 10 times in Genesis chapter 1 during creation? God spoke things into existence by simply saying them, and he said. In the Old Testament, which you're familiar with, which we just read from, and we'll unpack more of that here this morning in the book of Exodus, but God spoke through the prophets. He pointed people to lead his people, to speak to his people, to tell them his word and the way that he wanted to live or the things he asked for them to do in their life. How does God speak to us in the New Testament today? Who did he use that came to earth? Spoke. Who was it, congregation? Jesus Christ. He speaks to us today through the New Testament. And so I want to unpack those things today about God speaking to us. And so I have kind of a deep question here for you this morning that I want to give you today. My question for you is, God still speaking to you? That's what I want to know today. I'm not concerned about how God spoke to Abraham or the way that Jesus spoke to the New Testament, but what I want to know is, in your own life, is God still speaking to you right now today? And how does that look? Is he speaking to your household? Are you allowing him to speak to you or to your household or to whatever it is, maybe into your marriage? Maybe into your work, in your life. And if he is speaking to me, how do I know it's him? How do I decipher those things? And how do I understand that it's really God and not something else? Those are the things that I hope by the end of this message this morning that you'll be able to, yep, I get it. I understand it. I need to do better at this. No, I hear God speak to me. I'm in the right place. I hope by the end of this message that you can start to decipher some of those things and understand that in your own life. How does God speak to you and I today? I want you to think about some situations in your life. I want you to think about when you need to make a decision that's before you and you're not sure what to do, and there's a choice to be made. For whatever that might look like. I want you to think about when you need wisdom in your life. Do you allow God to speak into that as you live life? And what does that look like for you? And where's your resources? How do you hear or understand his voice or his word as it comes to you, as you decipher that? And so I hope to give you some tools here this morning that will help you hear God's voice, that he'll speak to you maybe in a fresh new way in your life. And so I'm going to start out with a couple of guys wrote a book. And if you're a Christian, a reader, you will recognize these two authors, Henry Blackaby and Claude King. They wrote a book called Experiencing God. And they wrote about four things that as God speaks to his people, there's four things that they recognize that were so common. And they especially focused on the Old Testament when God used the prophets, when he used somebody like Moses to lead his people. These are the things that they noticed, these two authors. And by the way, they've done a lot of research and so on in Scripture, great Christian men, theologians. And notice this is what they said. You can see them on the screen. When God spoke, it was usually unique to the individual. A specific thing that he needed to tell someone, such as Moses, go to Egypt and get my people. Specifically, spoke in a certain way. God asked them to do something. Second, when God spoke, the person was sure God was speaking. They had no doubt that it was not somebody else. They understood that. Hey, this is God. Notice what God said to Moses. Moses, stop. For where you're standing, you are on holy ground. Moses knew right away that he's dealing with God the Father. And we got a light show going on for you this morning, by the way, too, here at church. But now, the third thing I want you to be aware of is when God spoke, the person knew what God said. There was no discernment like, did he really say that? Are you sure that he said that? No, they knew exactly what God was asking them of, wanted them to do. They were aware of that. They understood that. And here's the fourth thing. When God spoke, this was the encounter with God, personally. Now, here's a point I want you to make this morning. God spoke more or less face-to-face to Moses. Now, we don't see God speak face-to-face anymore, do we? I don't think any of you have had a personal encounter with God face-to-face, because if you did, you would not be here. But everything we see in the Old Testament, we see the angel of the Lord, which would have been Jesus speaking to prophets, or we see God himself that was speaking to prophets, and they're having this conversation. So you might be sitting in there this morning thinking, well, if we're living in the New Testament, and we don't see the prophets that we used to see in the Old Testament, and God spoke face to face, how does that speak to me today? What is that supposed to look like in my life then, if God speaks in a different way to you and I? And that's where I want to dig in just a little bit deeper to you this morning. And here's what I want to start with, this verse, John 10, verse 27. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you're in the Word of God, this is what it says. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If you're hearing God's voice, that means that he's speaking to you. He's leading you. He's guiding you. He's teaching you in your life. Now, I'm going to bring up some general ways that God speaks to everyone in this world, not just to us as believers this morning. And so I want to go through just a couple different ways that he does that. And so these are what I would consider would be that God speaks to you and I through general revelation. All right, now you might be thinking, what is that? You know, and maybe you're new to the church and you're still trying to develop your faith. And what does that look like? What does that mean? Here's the definition of that. It's real simple. God speaks to us through his creation. If you were to go somewhere and you were to witness something that is simply, have you ever just sat somewhere for a little while and you maybe looked at a mountain range, or stood on the seashore of the ocean, or you were somewhere beautiful and you just sit there and you think, wow, there has to be a God who can create such beauty, right? Maybe it's an animal that you've seen, or you go to the zoo and you see the variety of stuff that God created and you're just amazed, and you sit down for just a moment and you start to collect your thoughts and you just think, there has to be a creator. There's no way that this is going to come out of a big bang. That's general revelation that God created. And within you, you start to wonder, there has to be a creator. Life is too complicated for it to not be. General revelation. So along with that, here's another way. God speaks to us through our conscience. Now, you have to be careful here because you can get on the wrong path. But he can use our conscience. So let me explain that just a little bit this morning. Be careful about following your gut or your emotions. Some people get caught up in that, and that's not a good thing to do, all right? But to follow God, to follow the Spirit. So let me just use a verse that's in the blue box this morning. And so Paul wrote the book of Romans, and this is what he said. For when Gentiles, you and I are Gentiles, and we're not Jews, and he's talking about how they live their lives. They know something, but yet they don't even know the law is what he's saying, meaning the Ten Commandments, but yet they follow them. And this is what he said. The Gentiles who do not have the law, by nature, do what the law requires. How can they do what the law requires and they don't even know it? Isn't that fascinating? That you and I know what's right and what's wrong without even being told that in our lives? And then if we go on, we'll see how it responds to that. They are the law to themselves. Even though they do not have the law, they show the work of the law is written on their hearts. Meaning that we are created by the Creator and God put within us to know the difference between good and evil. All right? So I'm going to use a couple metaphors here this morning, or analogies that I want you to think about this morning. And you're going to have to do a lot of sitting around. All right? Now, some of you are not good at that because you want to go. But I want you to imagine now if you were to sit around. So I had you sit around, look at the seashore this morning. I had you sit around, look at the mountain range. Now, I want you to sit around a little bit more this morning. And I want you to ponder this thing. These things. If you were to stop for a moment in your life, you would be able to recognize the difference between what is right and what is wrong. You could come to that conclusion in your life about anything that you get yourself involved with or that you experience. You have choices that you'll make. And you can do what you want with it. You know, you might, well, could it be an ethical question? Yeah, it could be an ethical question. Could it be just a way maybe that I respond to my wife or my husband, or, you know, all kinds of things. But you know the difference between right and wrong. Your heart senses that naturally. I don't need to tell you that you're a sinner because you already know. I don't need to tell you the things that you've done wrong. I might not know them, but you know them. Your heart knows them. And of course, that's the work of the Holy Spirit that convicts people. You have a desire. Now, stay with me here. You're still sitting on your log, all right? You have a desire for justice to take place in the world when you know something is wrong. Something bad has happened against somebody else. Your heart yearns for peace. Or for something to be made right. Where does that come from? That's my question for you this morning. That's general revelation that God puts in people. Now, I'm not saying that there's not evil people in the world. Don't hear me say that, because there are. That Satan has gotten a hold of things and twisted and makes a mess out of things. Or that we're not going to be perfect as well. We'll make mistakes. But what I'm getting at is, in general revelation, you have things that are implanted within you that are just natural. Right? Let me give you another example. You're sitting on your log. You're having financial hardship in your family, and you don't know what to do. You're the provider for your family. And so you got a decision to make. All right? You could go down and rob a local convenience store. Right? Get some cash, take care of your problems. But is that really the right decision? No. Your conscience is going to tell you that, no, I maybe need to find a second job, or I need to figure out, maybe I need to borrow some money, or maybe I need to, you know, figure out a way to work through this, and maybe you pray about that. But you naturally come to the decision that it's not a good idea to rob the local convenience store. God puts that within us. That's called general revelation. That's what I want to tell you, is that that's how God speaks to you and I, through our conscience. Let me move to the next one. Circumstance. Now remember, these are general level revelation. God uses this in all kinds of people, just not believers. But God can speak to us through our circumstances as well as the circumstances of others. Now, if you're a believer, this is going to take spiritual discernment. That you stay on the right path. That you follow the will of God as you deal with circumstances. Just like our conscience, we have to be careful how we interpret it. But God can speak to us through what I like to call, and it's in the blue box, circumstantial opportunities. Anyone ever had a circumstantial opportunity in their life? Anybody? How do I respond to that? Everybody put your hand up like this. All right, everybody? Okay, keep it up there for just a moment. Keep it up now. Have you ever had a circumstantial opportunity in your life? Raise your hand. Yeah, now you can put it down. You have them all the time. All right? Circumstances that God puts you in, and sometimes he directs your life through them. Are you catching my drift now? Let me tell you here something. I have a picture of the Houston airport on the screen. You see that sitting there? It looks really nice. There's hardly anybody there. So, last week, I can't even keep my day straight anymore. 10 days ago, let's say, we went to Mexico. We flew down there. We went to Mexico to Ixtapa, beautiful place. The trip down went well. The week was great. It was 85 during the day, 73 at night, light breeze coming off the ocean, all that kind of stuff. And then we get to the airport in Ixtapa, and we got to head home, and we hear that you guys are having a blizzard, and we're not excited. And anyway, we get on the plane, and we're going to fly from Ixtapa to Houston, Texas. And then we go from Houston to Omaha, where we parked our car, and we're going to drive home. So this is Monday. It's about 11 o'clock in the morning. They said, you need to get to the Ixtapa Airport early. It's a little bit smaller than Sioux Falls. They said it's going to be terrible busy. And we get in the place, and there's literally maybe 15 people there. All right? So we fly through TSA, and our plane doesn't leave till 2 o'clock. It's 11:15. Like, oh my. So we wait around. And then they come on there and said, your plane's late, but we want to check your boarding passes. So then we get up, we show them our boarding pass, we sit back down again. And then they come over the PA and said, your plane's going to be later yet. When you get here, we're gonna speedily load you. I never heard of speedily load a plane ever in my life. But anyway, so we get out on the runway, and they're packing us in the plane, and we take off. Pilot says, yeah, we're going to get you back on schedule. We're just going to bump up the throttle just a little more. We'll be in Houston maybe 10 minutes later than what you're supposed to get there. All right? So great. We're flying over Mexico, and all of a sudden we're about over the border between Mexico and the United States, and we start circling. And about a half hour goes by, and the pilot doesn't say anything to us. But you can see it. The sun's on that side, and then it's on that side. You know you're going in a circle, right? And we look out the window to the east, and it is pitch black. I mean, like night. And the pilot finally comes on and says, the Houston airport's been shut down because there's a tornado warning, and we don't know when we're going to land. And he says, by the way, we don't have enough fuel to get there. Oh, great. So we're going to land at Corpus Christi, Texas. Small airport, the size of Sioux Falls. We get on the ground. There's 9 other planes that are already there. They're just landing planes. And then he says, by the way, you can't get off the plane because you're an international flight. So we sat on the plane on the ground, sun is shining, to the east, big storm going on for 4 hours. We sat there. And then they come on and tell us, by law, we got to let you off the plane in 4 hours. We're going to go to the gate. So we're on our way to the gate. The plane's moving. We got some fuel, by the way. The plane's moving. And all of a sudden, he turns, goes onto the runway. Like, what is going on? Comes on. We're taking off to Houston. We can't dock you. They don't have customs here. You can't get off the plane. So they fly us back through the tail end of the thunderstorm. We flew it. If you haven't flown much, we flew at 12,000 feet because we couldn't go higher than that because of the storm. But I'm going to tell you that it was the worst plane ride that I've ever had. We were buckled in. We had turbulence. There were people on the plane that were screaming. There were some ladies crying. We were banging around the whole entire way. We were not allowed to even go to the bathroom. And it was 1 hour and we touched down. 11:30 at night, we get into Houston. And our plane to Omaha, because you guys are having the same storm up here, is delayed. We can make it, right? We can get through customs. We get through TSA. We just run across the airport, and the plane is still there. And the lady at the little desk, she's so nice and friendly. The door's closed. You won't open it? Nope. You missed it. Well, when can we get out? Meanwhile, there's over 500 flights canceled in Houston. And guess what else, football fans? How many of you know what's going on in Houston on Monday night? The college championship football game. Everybody's stuck in the airport. So I'm going to have to shorten this up because it's going to get too long, my story. But here's the point. We go to the counter. Can you get us back to Omaha? Some way. Yep. You get down, run across the airport to this different concourse. Get on the plane going to Dallas to Chicago, Chicago to Omaha. We'll have you home by tomorrow afternoon. Great. Hustle across the airport. Get there. The lady at the counter, very nice. The plane's gone. Oh. Now what? Get back in line. 4:30 in the morning. We're still in line. We get the great idea, at least I did. Let's rent a car and drive home. 13 hours. My boys were not excited. Circumstantial, what did I call them? Circumstantial opportunity here, by the way, people. This is what I'm getting at. We go to the rental place. People everywhere sleeping, 200 people in the one rental car place that's open. Levi is with me and he said, what do we do? Do we get in line? Nope, hold on a minute. Nice lady comes out from behind the counter. No one-way rentals. No car. Back to the airport. By this way, I can't get in the airport because we don't have no longer have a boarding pass. So they can't let us in. So I said to Dory, I said, you got to help us out. You got to figure something out because if we leave the airport, we're SOL, right? We're not getting home. So they stood in line, and at 5 o'clock, we finally figured out that we could come back to Omaha. But this is early Tuesday morning, 4 in the morning. We could leave on a plane on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. That's the earliest we could leave Houston. And then we could not find a motel because they were booked out. So we slept in the motel, in the airport on Tuesday night for about 2 hours. And then we got out of there and we went and got a motel about 11 o'clock in the morning. We took a shower and we all went to bed for the day because we were tired. Now here's the point I want you to think about. Because in the midst of all this, circumstantial opportunities, you got to ask this question, God, what are you trying to teach us here? What do you want me to take away from this situation that you want me to know? Right? And sometimes you might not have an answer right away, but after we got home and we're processing all this thing with Dory and the boys and realize, here's the one simple thing that I gathered and then I took out of there is that you are not in charge of your life ever. Exclamation mark. God runs my life, whether I like it or not, right? Circumstantial opportunities that God speaks to you and I, and he does that with everyone. That's general revelation. That's my story of the Houston airport, but we had a great vacation. Let's move to special revelation. Okay, now this is what I want to unpack this a little bit here this morning. Special revelation is that God speaks to his believers, those that are filled with the Holy Spirit, you and I as church-going Bible-believing people. And this is how he speaks in the most common way to you and I, and I'll pack some other ones here shortly, is that he speaks to Jesus Christ, or the divine word of God. The Bible. The word of God. You want to hear God's voice? Read your Bible. Read your Bible. If you don't know where God's at, read your Bible. If you haven't heard from him in a while, read your Bible. Special revelation. If you want to speak to your household, you want to speak to your children around your dinner table, read your Bible. That's how he speaks to you and I today. The most common way that he speaks to you and I today. Now, let me expand on that just a little bit more. Here's what else I want to share with you this morning. And there's Bible verses on here. You can write them down. You can read them. I'm not going to go through every one. But here's the point. He also speaks to you through general revelation, through the counsel of the Holy Spirit. He makes you wise. He brings the scripture to life when you read the Bible. You have understanding of what you're reading, and it's applying to the things in your life. The counsel of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is important for you to understand and know. I'm going to speak the sense to you this morning. God speaks to us by the Holy Spirit, and this is what's important about it, is that he's speaking by his Spirit. It will never contradict his word. Ever. Right? You go to the book of Psalms, and it talks about, you know, be careful how you become wealthy because you want to earn it honestly. I just talked to you a little bit ago. If you got financial problems, you don't want to rob the local convenience store, right? You can't find a verse in there that says if you're having financial problems, right? Deuteronomy 32, verse 1. If you have financial problems, rob your local store. See, it doesn't say that, does it? See, special revelation. So the Holy Spirit will give you understanding of the Word of God, and it will align. It will make sense to you of what you're supposed to do when, no matter the circumstance you might find yourself in. And lastly, and I think this is such a powerful way, God speaks through his church. You say, well, what do you mean, Rob? He speaks to you through me as the pastor. The Word of God. When I pray here this morning and I come before you and I ask God, may these words be yours and never, ever mine, that God speaks to his people through me, the church. And this is done all over the world today in Bible-believing congregations that are preaching from the Word of God, the truth of Scripture. And I got some Bible verses on there that can remind you of that, Romans chapter 10. You can write that on your outline if you want to. It talks about the preaching the Word of God. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, is what it says. So this asks me the question, why would somebody want to skip church if they could go there every Sunday and hear directly from God? And that's not about me or what church you go to, as long as it's a Bible-believing congregation that preaches the truth. Why would people want to miss that in their lives? And I'll never know. So let me just finish up by this. Together, in the Word of God, filled with the Spirit of God, we can discern rightly the voice of God in your lives. It's my challenge for you this morning. It may take a step of faith. Notice what Moses did. When it's in Exodus 3, I read to you, when Moses turned aside, right? He moved towards the burning bush. He moved towards God. Then God spoke. You might have to take the first step. You might have to crack the Bible open. You might have to be open to what the Spirit's telling you and discern those things in your life. But I promise to you that God is still speaking. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just bless our service today. Lord, may you continue to feed us throughout this week with the Holy Spirit as we ruminate on this message today. Lord, of general revelation, of special revelation, and the way you still speak to us today. May you continue to speak to us in a great way. In Jesus, I pray these things. Amen.